Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So the stadium vote went 11-2 in favor. I think that's it. That should be it, unless there's a third vote we don't know about. Seemed like needless drama yesterday, it would seem to me. Why wasn't the vote, by the way, taken in August? Why wasn't that the one that counted the most? Lots of shenanigans, I guess, yesterday with the city council. They definitely irked Washington's front office, Mark Klaus, I'm sure Josh Harris and company, but all's well that ends well. I thought it had ended a month ago, but it is now final. Washington heading back to RFK. The second time in the last few months we have felt this joy that we are heading back to RFK. Have you seen the pictures of the demolition of RFK Stadium? Definitely. I have felt, in looking at some of those pictures, I have felt nostalgic looking at those photos. You know, that gets you if you are of a certain age and you experienced RFK Stadium for football games in particular. And there were lots of other events. But it was, and we've talked about it for many, many years, it was truly one of those places. You know, the description of stadiums, iconic stadiums, the word cathedral is always used. And it did feel at times like a religious experience on so many days, so many nights. For so many of us, the memories that get conjured up in our minds and in our hearts when you think about some of those days and nights, man, nothing was ever like it. Nothing. Any game against Dallas was 10x the electricity, 20x the electricity. There was nothing like that stadium for a late 4 p.m. Sunday afternoon or a Monday night game against the Cowboys. I mean, the buzz, the decibel level, the bloodthirst because of the rivalry and the disgust and the disdain and the hatred for the Cowboys, and at the same time, the unity among all that were in that stadium, 55,035, I mean, it impacted the game. It really did. That was a true 12th man. I mean, over the years, you know, long after RFK had shut down for football and FedEx had opened, you know, there were stories that would come out from Giant players, Eagle players, but the Cowboy players in particular were the most vocal in their memories of RFK. You know, I remember Danny White, Tony Dorsett, Randy White, Drew Pearson, all talking about the feeling of walking up those steps out of that locker room that they were in that end zone, which was, you know, for baseball, it was at one point when the Senators were there, the visitors' dugout. The Skins came out of the Senators' dugout. Now, once baseball was gone, there were no more dugouts. There was no more baseball diamond. You know, there was a period of time where Washington would play games with the infield, you know, in the coming across part of the field. Now, the Senators left in 71, so didn't have that afterwards. But the Cowboys, when they would talk about walking up those steps and out into that cathedral, and the chants of "We want Dallas," they said it would make the hair on the back of their neck stand up. But it was also so incentivizing because they would talk about what it was like to go in there and play well and hear the decibel level drop to a level in which you could hear a pin drop. Because I'll never forget a Monday night game. This was after the championship game in 82. So they play in January 83, the Cowboys in the NFC Championship. Everybody's familiar with that game. It is by far and away, and I've said this 200 times since I've been doing this show, it is the single most electric environment for a sporting event I have ever been in, ever. Nothing has ever come close to that, and I've been to fights in Vegas and Super Bowls and championship games. I'll tell you, for a Maryland guy, Kohl Field House at times was really something else, but nothing like that day. The stadium completely filled 45 minutes before kickoff. Not an empty seat in the arena for a game that kicked off, I think, at 12:30 Eastern. And the place was nuts all game long. But the following season, after Washington beat the Cowboys and then went on to win Super Bowl 17 against Miami, the league did what they did many, many times, which is Washington and Dallas on Monday Night Football to open up the season. Washington versus Dallas was not only the number one rivalry in the NFL in the 70s, 80s, and really into the early 90s, and maybe through the 90s until it became clear that Washington was a sinking franchise and the number of important games were diminished. They just didn't happen that often. And all of this, you know, all of a sudden Baltimore came into the league, Baltimore, Pittsburgh became a big deal, you know, and we had some others. You know, Dallas clearly had this thing with the 49ers in the 90s. They had, you know, an ongoing thing with the Eagles. You know, we understand all that. But there was nothing close to Washington Dallas for about 25 years. You know, from about 1971 when George Allen arrived here until at least the mid-90s, there was no rivalry better than Washington-Dallas in the NFL, and most people would have had it ranked in the top five rivalries in all of North American sports. Seriously, Army-Navy, Ohio State-Michigan, Iron Bowl, Lakers-Celtics, Cowboys-Redskins. I mean, that would be, you know, those would be, they were in that category. And so Monday Night Football, Washington and Dallas opened up against each other on Monday Night Football. I don't know, it's probably 6-7 times in history. I think that it is the most, it's the game that has appeared the most in prime time, whether it's Monday night, Thursday night, Sunday night football. I think Denver Raiders is number two. I could look that up. Maybe that's changed in the last few years. But for many years, Washington-Dallas was the number one matchup in prime time going back to the introduction of Monday Night Football in 1970. The opener in 83 at RFK Stadium. This game was famous for Howard Cosell calling Alvin Garrett that little monkey. Remember that? And there was a big hullabaloo over that. Howard was such a progressive. He was so good for, you know, so many people that were minorities. Ali, the relationship, he was forgiven for that. And it was a slip up and he was forgiven for it. But it made major headlines. But the game itself, it was, you know, the Super Bowl. Doc, Riggo, Theismann, Jake, all of them will tell you, the Super Bowl was anticlimactic after the NFC Championship. Beating Dallas in the 82 season, January 83 championship game at home was bigger and felt bigger than winning the Super Bowl. It really did. So when we got to the opener of the 83 season, it was the rematch of the NFC title game. It was Redskins-Cowboys opening up the season. And remember, 82 was a strike-shortened season. They only played 9 regular season games. So there were a lot of people that thought that Washington's Super Bowl in 82, Super Bowl 17, was a bit fraudulent because the 49ers had won it the year before, and teams just, you know, never got into a rhythm in a short sprint 9-game season. Washington went during that 9-game season 8-1. Their only loss, by the way, was a regular season loss to the Cowboys. So they open up, and now we're going to play a full season, 16. Well, Washington's not going to be the team. Dallas is going to be the team.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And Washington sprints out to a 23-3 halftime lead. The place was insane. It was an insane asylum before the game. You know, the defending champs opening up on Monday Night Football against their heated rival. That game almost equaled the championship game in terms of the electricity, the buildup, the whole thing. And the Skins were on fire. Theismann to Charlie Brown, Theismann to Monk, Riggo. They're rolling the Cowboys, blowing them out on national television, 23-3. Well, the Cowboys roared back from 20 down at halftime. And they came back, and Danny White hit Tony Hill on two bombs for touchdowns. And that's where I was headed with this, which is Cowboys, former Cowboys talked about there was nothing better than coming into RFK and quieting the crowd. And you could hear a pin drop on the last. I'm going back to look at the how long of a bomb it was. Hold on for 1 second. So 23-3 at halftime, all right? And a 75-yard touchdown pass from Danny White to Tony Hill in the third quarter made it 23-10. And then a 51-yard bomb from Danny White to Tony Hill made it 23-17. Then the Cowboys got the ball back again. They drove and they won, and they took the lead, a lead they never gave up. They ended up winning the game 31-30. And the place, that was by the way, that was... There was something incredibly compelling about how it could be so loud and then just so quiet. And by the way, back then, you might get literally 100 Cowboy fans. Maybe it was more than that. Maybe it was 200 Cowboy fans scattered throughout. You didn't hear them. And by the way, they didn't want to be heard because it would be a rough night for them, especially after they won the game. Theismann threw for 325 in that game, two touchdowns, and Danny White only completed 9 passes out of 20 attempts, but for 193 yards and 3 touchdowns. And that started off a season in which Washington and Dallas would meet up later in the season, both teams being 12-2. Meeting in the next to last week of the regular season. That is the game often referred to as the fatigues game, where the Skins showed up in military fatigues off the plane, onto the buses, and they went in a matchup between 12-2 and 12-2. The two best records in the NFL, the two best teams in the NFL playing for the NFC East title and the one seed throughout the NFC playoffs. You know, the winner was likely to go on to the Super Bowl. Yeah, the 49ers were there, and Washington would eventually beat the 49ers in the NFC Championship game. And Washington beat the Cowboys 31-10. This was the famous, you know, Everson Walls, Dennis Thurman, Michael Downs trying to break up the fun bunch in the end zone. But they went in and kicked Dallas's ass. So they ended up splitting the two games. But Dallas winning that opening Monday night game was crazy. Washington's 83 team, I think, is the best offensive team. I mean, you could debate it with 91. I think 91's the all-time best team. I don't really think it's a debate. They were, you know, DVOA pencils them out as the all-time greatest team, although I think that's been supplanted recently by not the 85 Bears, not the 07 Patriots. There may be another team. They went back and did a lot of other seasons going back to the 50s. Anyway, it may have been a Packers team that ended up being the number one overall DVOA team. I think 91 by far and away is the greatest Washington team of all time. But the 83 offense set the mark for the most points in a season in NFL history. Their two losses during their 14-2 season was that season opening Monday night loss to the Cowboys 31-30. And then a famous 48-47 Monday night loss at Lambeau. They lost two games by 2 points. They crushed the Rams 51-7 in the divisional round, held on for dear life in what was a very controversial game for 49ers fans in particular, beating the Niners 24-21. And then, of course, they got run out of the building in Tampa in Super Bowl 18 by the LA Raiders. But, yeah, seeing the photos of RFK being dismantled, you knew that day was coming. You know, I have certainly had occasion over the years to drive by the stadium, and every time you drive by it and you look at it, you're like, wow. But it was an eyesore. It turned into an eyesore, as had that entire property. That's what makes so much sense about the return to D.C. But when you see that stadium coming down, man, I remember when the Nats came to town. It was just fun to go back to RFK. I know that you could have gone back to RFK for soccer games. I just didn't. I wasn't really much of a soccer guy. But when the Nats came back, I remember going to at least a half dozen to a dozen games. And I would walk up to my old seats, to our old seats at RFK. 513, row 13, seats 1, 2, 3. About the 10-yard line behind the Redskins bench upper deck, there wasn't a bad seat in that stadium. Wasn't. If you want to, you know, weigh in with your feelings that RFK is done, they're going back. You know, this voting thing seems a little bit anticlimactic yesterday. I mean, I felt like really excited a month ago or whenever it was, 6 weeks ago. But whatever, delayed excitement, you know, now it's final. But if you want to weigh in with how you're feeling, if you've seen those RFK photos, if you've seen RFK being, dismantled, demolished, with maybe your favorite memory or two of RFK Stadium, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. We'll take some calls on that. On the show today, Denton's going to join us at 10:35 to talk some college football. Charch will be with us during the 11 o'clock hour to talk fantasy. We've got a game tonight, Buffalo hosting Miami. I might have, at the end of the show, a smell test pick on the game tonight. We're certainly going to get into the fact that Jaden missed practice yesterday. And then we heard from Marcus Mariota. We heard from Dan Quinn. We carried that live on the show yesterday. But we'll talk about the buildup here towards the Raiders on Sunday. But if you've got an RFK memory or two as the stadium is being dismantled and demolished, and you want to call 301-230-0980. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.